Friends, have you ever had a nagging feeling that maybe when you prayed, nothing was actually happening? I mean, when you stop and think about it, do these little words that we send up to the sovereign God of the entire universe actually do anything to change his mind or help him to actually do things in this world? I mean, us as little humans. And when we pray, you know, was that thing going to happen anyway? You know, when we prayed for that parking spot and we actually got it, was that God answering prayer? Did it just happen to be the right timing that it happened? And I know you guys pray for parking spots. That's okay. You can do that, especially in the Christmas season. Do our prayers actually do anything? That's a good question to ask. I know you've probably all been through times where you thought, you've wondered, are my prayers actually working? And as we start this, as we end this year, actually, and I thought about a sermon to preach to end this year, I really wanted to preach on the topic of prayer, because I actually think prayer is the lifeblood of our relationship with God. It's the lifeblood of, it's the way that we relate to our Heavenly Father. And it's also the way that we see transformation actually come about in our lives and the lives of others, right? So prayer is so vital to the Christian life. I want us to love prayer as a church, but I think one of the biggest hindrances to us, one of the reasons we struggle with prayer is that actually, when we are honest with ourselves, we're not actually convinced that it works. Does prayer actually work? Well, I want to show you that it does. I want to show you from God's word that it does work. And my first point here, sorry, Steve, just a slide. Thank you. Is that prayer works in you. Prayer works in you. This is the first point. I know this isn't the answer to the question that most of us are asking whether prayer actually works, but I want to start here. This is an aspect that's often overlooked. One of the key ways that prayer actually works is within you, within our own hearts. Prayer transforms the person that's praying. How? Well, 16th century reformer John Calvin outlines a whole lot of benefits for prayer, right? Prayer grows our passion. It helps grow our desires for what God desires. It grows our thankfulness. There's so many ways that prayer actually helps us. But I just want to quickly focus on one today, and it's this one, that prayer grows our dependence on God. Prayer grows our dependence on God. When you think about it, the early church, the first church, when it started in Acts, was filled with prayer. Did you notice about that when you read Acts? Prayer is there all the time. Every second verse is about praying. If you read through the epistles, you'll see the apostles praying constantly. Why is that? Why are they so filled with prayer, whereas maybe the modern church, not so much? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but I think the context is one of the big things. Think about what the early church was going through. The early church was going through suffering, was going through persecution. They were going through uncertainty. They were this young church. They weren't even established yet. They weren't sure what was going to happen. On their own, there was no hope, but they needed to depend on God in that time. Deep dependence on God was absolutely, it wasn't just optional, it was necessary for them to survive. Faith wasn't just a buzzword for them. God was the only thing they had. They needed to rely on God, which is why prayer overflowed. They needed the help of a good and powerful God. I think the reason so often we don't pray is because we don't think we need help. We think we are capable enough. We think we have things under control. We trust in ourselves. Only in deep trouble will we shoot up that prayer when we're in an emergency, we need help. That's for Christians and non-Christians alike, right? When we're in deep trouble. I mean, if you're on a plane and one of the engine blows up, everyone's praying, let me tell you. Everyone, whether they're religious or not, on that plane. But friends, don't wait for those moments to pray. Don't wait for those moments, because you are made to depend on God every single day of your life, every single day. Every time you ask God in prayer, you are saying this, I can't do this by myself. Every time you pray, you're declaring, I need you, God. And let me tell you, that is a good thing. Because we were made to be in a dependent relationship with God. Being independent is highly valued in our society. But when it comes to God, remember, you are supposed to depend on him. You are his children. He is your father who's there to provide for you, guide you, protect you. Friends, you were made to depend on God. There is no shame in that. That's what it means to be human. So, pray. Because the more you pray, the more you ask God for help in small things and big things, the more you'll be transformed to trust in God for all things. The more you will grow a right, appropriate, and good relationship of deep, deep dependence, like a young child to their father. So you see, prayers do work. number one, they work by changing you, the prayer. So that's a good reason to pray, but it's much more than that. Because the scriptures also tell us this, that God works through your prayers. God works through your prayers. Now, it's understandable to doubt this sometimes, because if you think about it, should we really expect the awesome, sovereign God of the universe, who's in control of every single thing, who's so transcendent and holy and mighty, and planned all things out according to his great plan, to listen to us? Should we actually really expect that? To listen to our human prayers and our requests? Well, friends, we need to understand a few things. First, we need to understand this. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. The first thing to understand is this simple but profound truth. I'll show you a verse on the screen, James 4:2. You do not have because you do not ask God. That's what it says in James. You do not have because you do not ask God. There's a simple truth in this passage. James is saying, if you had asked, you would have received. But you didn't ask, so you didn't receive. Asking is the thing that makes the difference. And to illustrate this later on in James 5, the example is given of the prophet Elijah, who prayed to God that it would not rain for 3 years, and God responded and did this. Here's the extraordinary promise of God, that he changes things in response to our prayers. He changes things in response to our prayers. This is a reflection of our privileged relationship with God. Remember, if you trust in Jesus, you are a child of God. God is your Father, and he is the perfect Father who listens to his children. Let me tell you something. I am an imperfect father. I don't always listen to my children. You can ask them. Oftentimes, I don't listen to my kids, right? They're trying to talk to me. I'm too busy trying to finish some work. I'm distracted by something on my phone, and I don't listen to them at all. But I want to be a father who listens. I try to listen. I want to do good things for my kids. I want to listen to them and respond to them and to give good things to my kids. Of course I do. Every father wants that because that's what good fathers do. How much more so with God? God is our perfect Father. He hears our prayers. He responds because in Christ you are his beloved children and he loves to give good things to you. Theologian John Frame writes this. This is a quote from John Frame. If prayer could not change anything, then our relationship with the Father would be rather hollow. If our child had no hope that his Father could change anything on his behalf, he would not be motivated to ask. Isn't that true? Why would a child ask their father for something if they knew the answer was always going to be no or nothing would happen, right? They'd stop. Friends, the question asked is, do you believe that God will work when you pray? Do you believe that he will work and respond when you pray? Maybe in our heads we believe this, but oftentimes our prayer life doesn't reflect this. If we're honest with ourselves, often we actually don't believe that God will do anything. In theory maybe, but actually, you know, we're not quite sure that something will happen. If he does, it's a pleasant surprise. Actually, that prayer got answered. That's a surprise. I say this as someone who's been praying for a long time. Sometimes we half-heartedly pray for a relative to get better from a sickness or something, but we have no real expectation that God would do it, right? We might send up a lame prayer request for our work situation to improve, but, you know, to be honest, we just think it's going to stay the same. We sort of pray for a non-Christian friend to be saved, but you know, that's so hard. Is that actually going to happen? Or maybe we're not praying at all. Because why pray if you don't believe that it's actually going to do anything? Friends, let me tell you something. Your prayers are effective. Your prayers work. And we need to start here with this point. Your prayers change things. All throughout the scriptures, we see people praying to God, and we see God working over and over and over again. They pray because they know things change when they pray. Otherwise, why do it? God works through our prayers. He does. That's our first thing we need to get down. But the big question we have to ask is how? How does he work? This is important because this will motivate us to pray more. And this is our second sort of sub-point. How does prayer work? Well, the best place to look is actually the final chapters of the book of Job in our reading before. As Uncle Eric was reading that, you're probably wondering, why are we reading Job in a prayer sermon? But this book, actually, this final chapter actually helps us understand how prayer works. This book is all about the intense suffering of a man called Job. And he has a few friends around him who aren't exactly helpful when they're trying to comfort him with the things that they're saying. They say very unhelpful things. And they say unhelpful things about who God is, actually. So it's quite serious. So we pick up this chapter that we heard, Job 42, a conversation between God and one of the friends called Eliphaz, one of Job's unhelpful friends. Let me read to you. It's in your Bible, so it's coming on the screen. Yep. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "I am angry with you and your two friends, because you have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has. So now take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Did you see that? Did you see how prayer works in that passage? God knows in advance that Job will pray for his friends. Not only that, he has ordained that this would be so. This is part of his plan, that Job would pray, and because of that prayer, forgiveness would come to his friends. Could God have forgiven the three friends without Job's prayer? Of course he can. He's God. Yet he chooses to use Job's prayer for the intended action to come about, for change to happen. We have to understand this. Prayer is actually the means through which God achieves his purposes. Prayer is the means through which God achieves his purposes. God has determined that he will work because of our prayers. Our prayers are the vehicle for God's actions in this world. They're the instruments, the tools for God's actions in this world. Now, it's important to note that this doesn't mean that God is powerless to do anything unless we pray. Of course, he's bigger than that. He has sovereignly determined, though, that every little prayer of ours would be the way that he works in this world. Here's the thing we need to remember from today. God doesn't need to use our prayers, but God chooses to use our prayers. Let me say that again. God doesn't need to use our prayers, but God chooses to use our prayers. Why would he do that? It's because he loves us. It's because he loves us. In Christ, we are his beloved children, and he is our heavenly Father. This is the heart of prayer. The privileged relationship we have with God, that's the heart of prayer, that we can come to him with our requests, and he delights to hear them. Relationship, love is at the heart of who God is. He doesn't need us to speak to him. He wants us to speak to him. Even though God is completely in control of everything and his plan is set out, he's got everything in control, it's good and perfect, he uses our small requests to bring about his big plan in this world. What a privilege, when you think about it, that we get to partner with God to bring about his plans. Now, I don't know if any of you like baking, and you know, for those of you who are parents, I'm not sure if you've ever involved your children in baking. Have you ever had that experience of involving your children in baking before? Let me tell you, it's very risky. It's a very, very risky idea. The other day, I think just on Saturday, actually, I was making pancakes, and Maya came up to me. She goes, "Dad, can I help you make pancakes?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." And, you know, she was pretty good. She can crack eggs, actually. Just a bit of a boast there for my daughter. But she can, a few eggshells, it's okay. So she helped me make it. But the reason, you know, sometimes, you know, we're a bit hesitant to get kids involved is because when kids get involved with making things, right, making things, cooking with us and things like that, it gets a bit messy, doesn't it? It gets a bit messy. There's a bit of a mess around. They don't quite know what they're doing. The results often aren't optimal at the end when you make it. It's a lot slower. I'm about efficiency, so slow, you know, it's hard work for me. We could do it on our own. We could do it much quicker, better, faster, you know, on our own. But why do we involve our kids? It's because we love them, right? We want to involve them in what we're doing. We want them to share in not just the process of creating this thing, this, you know, food to eat, but also enjoy the result, you know, it's to celebrate with us. We want to spend time connecting with them. We want to spend time relating to them. And let me tell you, you know, my kids are so happy when they get to be involved in any cooking, in any baking, whatever it is. They get to say, I got to help mum make that. I got to help dad make that. They love the fact they got to spend time with us and be a part of creating something beautiful. And if we see prayer rightly, we'll have the same response. How amazing is it that our Father involves us in his plan, his beautiful plans? Let me tell you something. It would be much easier and quicker and faster for God to work without us, right? Honestly, like, it's so much easier. But he wants to be involved. He wants us to be involved in his life. Some people think that God's absolute sovereignty and control, that he's got everything set out, that he's got a plan, means that we shouldn't pray, right? God's already got it. But I think when we see that God doesn't need to use our prayers, but he chooses to use our prayers, then we'll pray even more, because it's such a privilege to be in relationship with a God who wants to relate to us, for us to be involved. Friends, don't miss out on the awesome opportunity you have to be involved in God's plans, to relate to your Heavenly Father. So friends, pray. Pray. See what an amazing privilege it is to pray, that the powerful, good, sovereign God of the universe wants your prayers, wants a relationship with you to achieve his good purposes. He delights in us praying to him. And let me, a bit of a side point here. He delights in us praying to him, even when it's a bit messy, even when it's not perfect. Because I think you and I both know prayer is messy, right? Maybe you think pastors, like myself, are, you know, every morning we're on our knees in our little, you know, up at the crack of dawn, we're praying, and we got all these really profound, eloquent, you know, like passionate prayers to God for hours on end. That's not how it works, right? Guess what? My prayers oftentimes are very messy prayers, right? Sometimes they're just short because I'm, you know, don't feel like I have much time. Sometimes they're distracted. Sometimes I'm feeling tired. Sometimes my mind starts wandering off. Have you ever had that thing when you start praying, your mind starts wandering off and you start thinking, oh, what are the groceries I need to get? Oh, thank you, Father. You know, like, you know, things like that. You know, how do I solve that problem at work? And you're like, what was I praying about? You know, I'm sure none of you have had that experience before. It happens to me. Prayer's messy, right? It's hard work. Like, it's not something that just comes really naturally and we're always focused. But guess what? God uses our messy, imperfect prayers as part of his plans for this world. He still uses them. Like a loving parent involving his kids in baking a cake that's messy and imperfect, he delights when we come to him with messy and imperfect prayers. So I want to encourage you, as a side point, just pray your prayers, right? Pray your messy prayers. Don't have to get them perfect. God still, I know, I've heard stories of some people who, they didn't want to pray because they thought, they felt a bit subconscious, you know, self-conscious about their prayers because everyone else's prayers sounded so good. And we'd say to those people, just pray. Just pray with your heart. God loves those prayers. It doesn't matter if English is your second language. You know, pray in your heart language if you want. God delights in those prayers, even if it's not the best prayer. Best. Now, and on that point, I'll just want to encourage parents, all the parents of young kids in this moment. It is so hard sometimes. I know it's hard to find time to pray because you're exhausted, you're stressed, you've got so much going on. Can I just encourage you? Just pray. Pray your messy prayers. It's okay that you can't set aside, you know, half an hour or an hour for prayer devoted when you got a small toddler running around. Pray your prayers. God loves those prayers. He hears those prayers. He knows how you're struggling and he wants to help you, right? I just encourage you. Pray for your kids. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. God loves those prayers. Rejoice in the privilege that you can partner with him. So friends, just remember, God doesn't need to use our prayers, but he chooses to use our prayers. That's the game changer. He doesn't need to use our prayers, but he chooses to use our prayers. And I want to take some time on our final point to deal with an important question. What if prayer doesn't work? What if prayer doesn't work? Another reason we may doubt that prayer does anything is because our prayers, you know, we've been praying and they just don't seem to be answered. They don't seem to be working. Now, this is a whole sermon in and of itself, but I'll just try and draw out some quick points that I hope will be helpful about this. The first is this, that God always answers prayers. He does. It's not like any prayers go up and because there's too much going up at the moment, he misses one because he's too busy. He hears every single prayer. He listens to every single prayer. And he answers them, but the answer might not be exactly what we want. Yeah, the answer is yes, no, or later, wait. And that might not be what we want to hear. We can fall into the trap that God is like a cosmic vending machine, that we just send the prayer up, we pull, you know, we press the button, and then we get what we want, right? That's sometimes how we treat God. And we get upset if that's the case. But let me read to you a verse from Matthew 7, verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If my child or one of my children comes up to me and asks for ice cream for breakfast every single day, lunch and breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, I could, you know, there's a few different ways I could respond to that request, right? But I think you would all agree that I would not be a good parent if I said yes. No judgment if any parents have done it before. I know it's hard. But, you know, generally speaking, you'd say that wouldn't be a good thing if I granted that request. In the same way, God will not always give you what you want. He won't always answer every prayer that you send up because he knows what's good for you, even if we don't. He knows better. The Apostle Paul prays. You know, this is Apostle Paul. This guy has done so much for God. Faithful man. He prays for a thorn from his side to be removed, something that's really afflicting him, something he's suffering from. And he prays over and over. Three times he prays to God. But guess what? God says no to that because he has a good purpose, which Paul saw in retrospect, that this suffering was to grow him. The second thing to consider when it comes to prayer that doesn't seem to work is this, that sin hinders prayers. So not only does God say yes, no, or later, but sin is actually a factor. Let me read this to you. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, this is interesting to actually engage with. God will not listen to your prayers if you're living in unrepentant sin. Husbands, if you're treating your wives like trash and you don't listen to her, why would God listen to you? God's people had the same problem in their sin. He even said this in Isaiah 1. He said this, "When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen." Because the people were sinning and turning away from God over and over again. Remember, James 4. 2-3. This is an expansion of the verse before. You do not have because you do not ask God. And here's the next bit. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see this? Sin affects prayers. Sinful desires motivating your prayers? Well, don't expect prayer to be answered. Instead, what God assures us of is this, that if we pray according to his will, then he will answer our prayers. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Our prayers are to be holy prayers, holy prayers. Prayers not centered on self, not driven by sinful desires, but centered on the will of God. This is what he desires. And the promise is this, if we ask in accord to his will, he grants our request. Now, what is God's will? That's a big question mark. Let me sum it up like this. It's actually this. It's what Jesus left us with as his final agenda as he left for heaven. It's for people to come into his kingdom and to live with Jesus as their king. For people to be, for coming and being made into disciples and to be living as a disciple of Jesus. For people to be living holy lives that honor Jesus Christ in all that they do. For people to be turning away from sin, to be turning to God, to humble themselves. This is God's will. This is his plan in this world. This is why we are still here. This is what the work that needs to be done. This is what God desires, for more and more people to turn to him so that on that final day, there will be a multitude in heaven bowing their knee and worshiping him. Friends, if you have unanswered prayer, maybe it's time for you to stop and reflect. Maybe it's unrepentant sin. Maybe it's wrong, sinful desires. Turn to Jesus for forgiveness and shape your prayers around him and his will. Right? Turn to him. The third thing to consider is this. It's not about your faith. It's not about your faith. I just want to say something. This is a really common thinking about prayer that's really, really unhelpful and not biblical. The idea that if your prayers aren't answered, it's because you didn't have enough faith, that it's actually your problem. You didn't believe enough. That's why God didn't answer. This is wrong. When someone prays with passion for a relative to be healed from cancer, for example, and it doesn't happen, and the only answer is that, oh, you didn't pray with enough faith, I think it's not only devastating pastorally, but it's far too person-centered and not God-centered enough. Jesus himself states in Luke 17 that what is needed is faith, as small as a mustard seed. You might not have seen a mustard seed. They're very small. Because what matters to God is not the quantity of your faith, but who you are having faith in. And that is God, the God who can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. So when you pray, don't think that generating more faith means you can just declare something and it'll be yours. Don't get me wrong. I mean, faith is important. You depend on God, but it's not about this passionate amount that you have to get to before you activate God somehow, right? That's far too person-centered. Faith means trusting in the God who can do anything and will do what is good when you ask him. The power of our prayer is not in the amount of faith we have, but in the God that we pray to, the one we have faith to. Now, being in my household, through the years, we've gone through lots of crying and continue to go through lots of crying. And particularly when kids are babies, they can really cry. Parents, you can attest to this. Babies, man, they can cry. Yeah. I was asking Ching last night, who do you think had the most powerful cry? And she said, without hesitation, Maya. Without hesitation. Let me tell you, her cry is powerful. It's a powerful cry. Her cry changes things. Let me tell you that. It's not because it's very articulate and profound and eloquent. It's not because of her as this amazing baby when she was a baby that had such power. The power of a baby's cry, when you think about it, to affect change in this world, doesn't come from the baby itself. It comes from the one that they cry to, right? We hear the cry of our children and we respond. You know, Maya, when she was a baby, she knew she can yell out when she's in help and then we will come and help, right? We are the ones with power. The parents, right? We are the ones that this is how change happens in this world. She's in trouble. She needs food. If whatever the cry of gives out is what brings change in this world as we, her parents, affect that change. And that's like us with God. He's really just asking us to cry out to him. He's not asking for some perfectly word. It's not like we need a formal letter of request from our children before we respond to them, right? God to us is like, he just wants us to cry out. Our imperfect, messy, sometimes lacking a little bit of faith, prayers to him. And the power comes when he hears that and he will choose to respond in a way that is good and loving to us. So friends, let me encourage you. Cry out to God today. Trust that he has the power to actually use that prayer to change things in this world and that he will answer your prayer according to what is good for you because he loves you. Friends, as we finish the last Sunday of the year, I can't believe it, the last Sunday of 2024, I just want to encourage you, to remind you really about who God is, that we have a God who's powerful, a God who is good, a God who is sovereign, yet we get to partner with this great God in our prayers, and we get to see big things happen in this world. God doesn't have to use our prayers, but he chooses to use our prayers. Let me tell you, over the years, I sent up many, many, many prayers. Many prayers that have been imperfect, prayers that have been lacking in faith, prayers that oftentimes, let me tell you, oftentimes when I've prayed in the past, I'll be the first to admit, I wasn't really convinced that God would do anything, you know, with those prayers, particularly the ones where it's really hard situations. Particularly when it comes to non-Christians, like people who aren't yet believers, when I prayed for them to be saved. But God answered those prayers. He's used my prayers to bring about his plans to save people. In fact, through the prayers that I sent up that were messy and doubtful and lacking in faith, there's people sitting in this church today that are believers because of those prayers. I'm convinced about that. And I've been able to rejoice in this in a way that I never would have been able to if I didn't pray in the first place, because I got to participate in God's wonderful, beautiful plan to bring about transformation in this world. My prayers were used by him. What a privilege. And friends, you can have that privilege too. You do have that privilege. So let me encourage you to pray. God doesn't have to use our prayers, but he chooses to use our prayers. Let's not take this for granted. Let me take some time to pray now. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful to you that despite you being the God who is sovereign and mighty and powerful and so holy, and in no way did you need us to bring about your plans in this world, that you have chosen to include us in your plans, not because you need to, but because you want to, because you love us, because you love your children, you love relating to them, you love us participating in your plans, and we're so thankful to you for that, Father God. Please forgive us for the times we take that for granted, and we don't pray, maybe because of some of the reasons we talked about today, a lack of faith, or, you know, we just don't think they actually do anything. Please forgive us, Father. Please renew in us today a heart to actually fall to our knees, to humble ourselves, come before you, and send our requests to you, knowing that you are a good God who listens. And Father, we do pray for your will to be done, ultimately, that many more people will know Jesus, love Jesus, and worship him, and that in all these things, you will get the glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, we're going to spend a bit of time reflecting on the words of Scripture that we've just heard, and maybe you want to take this time to spend a minute to pray now that God would help change your heart to pray to him more. Let's take a few minutes to reflect.